Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Jen Duffy, and thanks so much for joining us tonight for this edition of the Happy Healthy Hour. Callers can dial in to 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you want to be on the air and placed in the queue. I'll be taking questions, comments, and ideas from the audience. So today's topic is 101 ways to make this your happiest and healthiest summer yet. I've been thinking a lot about this week, getting ready for the show. In midweek, I received my daily thought, or, you know, I'm subscribed to the Real Simple Magazine Daily Thought, and it pops up in my inbox every day. And I'll usually read the quote, and sometimes I'll muse on it, and other times, you know, I just get busy with my other emails. But one time this week, it was a Ralph Waldo Emerson quote that popped up, and it said, "Write it on your heart that every day is the best day in the year." And when you think about that, there are 365 days in a year, unless it's a leap year and we get that bonus day. And so often we look forward to essentially just a few of them: our birthday, our child's birthday, Christmas, an anniversary. But every day can be a great day if you set an intention for it to be so. And there are certainly going to be bad days. But each day gives you a new day to try and find the joy in it. So that's number 101. So set your intention for this summer and be grateful for each new day. Okay, that's actually number 101 and then number 100. So setting the intention and being grateful. Good way to start off the show. And I was thinking about this in the context of summer. I love summer. Summer is my happy season, and people that have known me for a long time know how much I love summer. And for many, summer brings a sense of nostalgia. What we did last summer, what we did in the summer growing up, where we're going to travel to in the summer. And summer days are often seen as a bit more carefree. Even how, if you think about how culturally we define and iconicize summer in movies and songs, books, even in product advertising, I feel like they're always trying to harp on our emotions tied to summer to buy something. And it feels like this is the season that goes by far too quickly, and there are a lot of expectations to make it the best yet. Sort of like New Year's Eve. You know, if you think back when we were school age and the first day back to school after the summer, how was your summer? What did you do? And even as an adult, you know, summer is still characterized as a time to relax a little, take some time off from work, maybe plan a vacation, attend family gatherings. But it's still not the summer break of our youth. But finding that time to relax and recharge really does make us healthier. And studies have even shown to be more productive, that downtime really does equate into more productivity. And so it's worth trying to infuse your summer with play and take advantage of the warmer weather and the longer hours of light and reconnect with the spirit of youth, even while managing the responsibilities of being a grown-up. So we're going to talk about 101 ways to do just that today, to get outside and play, to enjoy the foods of summer in a way that's a bit better for your waistline, and to make your body feel good as well as your mood. So I think we've got 99 to go. But first, the regular feature of the Happy Healthy Hour, what I'm drinking. So what am I drinking? Well, to put us in a summer mood, I wanted something frozen and tropical. I blended some pineapple chunks, some coconut milk, and some ice with a squeeze of fresh lime in it. And I was actually inspired by a recipe for a tropical summer smoothie that I read over on Mind Body Green today, and that also included chia seeds as well as a few other ingredients. So I'm definitely going to have to check that one out too. But this was just a very simple version of something refreshing and summery, and pineapple's a great anti-inflammatory. If you don't already read Mind Body Green, it's a great website that I recommend following, and it's a really good source of wellness information. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Happy Healthy Hour on the Life Coach Radio Network. Listeners can call in to 646-716-9397. And I hope you'll also check out some of the other shows on our network. There's a great lineup with amazing coaches with a wealth of knowledge and insight to share. So on to making this your healthiest and happiest summer. Number one. Get outside. Human beings need to be outside and need fresh air. We spend far too many hours of our lives inside, watching screens and monitors, being subjected to artificial light. And obviously, you want to be outside safely, not in excessive extreme heat or at the very hottest parts of the day. and you want to be hydrating appropriately, protecting yourself from the sun, the wind, the elements as necessary. But outside enjoyment doesn't have to be extreme. Really, just 15 minutes of outdoor time a day can change your mood. And I know that's not always feasible, but I know when it is, it's really good to squeeze that little bit in as regularly as you can. And so let's talk about some of the things to do outside. And trust me, these are not earth-shattering, but they're just a reminder of all the fun things there are to do in the summer. So two, take a bike ride. Wear a helmet, of course, and follow bike safety. But it's such a great way to get a little exercise, some scenery, even practically as a way to get to work or do errands. In New York, they have all the city bikes now, which is great. So many more people are biking around. And it also can be a family activity. So three, one of my personal favorites. Have an outdoor dance party. Between iPhones and iPads and everything, you can bring music wherever you are. I obviously would not recommend doing this really late at night or really early in the morning for neighbors, purposes of neighbors, or you might look a little strange or silly if you're in the park doing it, but just dancing around to some music outside can be such a mood lifter. Number four. Do yoga outside. And this is really taking the practice off the mat in the studio and outside. And you don't need a lot of props to do it. You can just do some simple moves, a downward dog, tree pose amongst trees. It's a really great way to combine a very meditative practice with meditating and enjoying the outside. Five, go on a hike. Six, go do yoga on a hike. This is an interesting twist because you're combining two things. One, hiking being more cardio and aerobic, depending on what type of yoga you practice. And then yoga, a good way to stretch and balance out some of the sore muscles that you can get from hiking. So at some of the rest stops, take a moment to just take in your surroundings, do some forward bends, maybe a triangle, maybe a wide leg standing bend, and it'll help you be more limber and aligned. And so combining yoga plus hiking is a good way to do two of those summer activities. So play Frisbee. I know that, you know, lots of people did ultimate Frisbee teams when they were in college or maybe still do, but simply picking up a Frisbee and tossing it back and forth, that play is so important. Play catch. Go for a swim. And many people are very diligent and disciplined and swim year-round, but there's nothing like swimming out of doors. Do water aerobics. You don't even need to be a Jane Fonda. You can simply just kind of use the resistance of the water and the fact that you are a bit more weightless in water, and so you can do some stretches and really open up and loosen up your joints. Go paddleboarding. I know it's become quite the craze and very popular, but it could be something to try. You might find it to be something you really enjoy. And there's also a lot of combination of yoga on a paddleboard. There are some great studios that are having people meet at marinas or lakes and things like that and taking the yoga onto the paddleboard. I have yet to try that, but I am definitely making that a mission for this summer. Go kayaking. Many places have free kayak days. I know in New York City there is, I think maybe it's the Parks and Recreation, but they have a few spots down in Battery Park and then on the west side where you can join in on free kayaking, so you don't have to make the investment in a kayak on your own, but you can just simply borrow the kayak and the paddle and a life jacket and get out there and paddle around for a little bit. It can be very peaceful out there. It's definitely an upper body workout, but it can be a lot of fun. Play tennis. You don't necessarily even need to have a court. If you can find a wall somewhere, you can hit against the wall. Or if you have kids, you can do ball coordination exercises. I used to be a tennis teacher a long time ago, and one of my favorite things to do with the small kids, the tiny tots, was to just bounce the ball up and down on the racket, bounce it down on the ground. You can just practice, and really it's good works on hand-eye coordination for kids. Play kickball. You'd have to muster up enough people to do that, but when was the last time you kicked a ball and just ran around bases and played gym-like activities? It could be fun to host a gym class-themed summer picnic or barbecue. Some of the other fun summer activities that you seem to kind of forget about sometimes and aren't very expensive necessarily and don't require a ton of equipment, badminton, beach racquetball, beach volleyball. A lot of beaches already have the volleyball net set up, you know, even in not necessarily in the heart of beach volleyball land like in California, but just local parks and beaches, croquet, bocce, horseshoe. All of these things are you're not just sitting around outside and you're moving, and it's not exercise per se, but you're moving your body, you're engaging your mind, you're playing, and you're, you know, maybe even spark a little bit of the competitive spirit. a great thing to do in the summer is to do a park workout, particularly if you don't belong to a gym and don't want to incur the cost of joining to a gym. There's so much in the park that you can use. You can bring a jump rope. You can use the trees and the benches for stability. Do some tricep dips on a bench. Put a towel down. Do some sit-ups on the ground. You can really do a pretty vigorous workout in the park with minimal equipment. And if you Google park workout, some of the fitness magazines will have some easy sequences that you can follow and print out or download on your phone. Play mini golf. It's not exercise, but you're outside, you're hitting that little ball around, and it's a lot of fun. And if you notice the last 23 things, the theme of play, having fun and playing. And it's really something that we don't do enough of. And play inspires creativity. Play is cathartic for your stress. Play is just something that seems to get pushed to the wayside the older we get in our society, because we're so bogged down with so many things that we have to do versus things that we want to do. Go fishing, go rollerblading or roller skating. I'm particularly a fan of the old school roller skates, and I do recommend protecting your wrists and wearing a helmet. And you may not feel like it looks so cool. I had grandiose visions in my head of looking like a 70s California skater girl, but the wrist guards and the helmet, they are important. You don't want to show up to work on Monday and have some injuries because your play got a little too dangerous. Build a sand castle or a sand animal. I am particularly a fan of building a sand alligator. They're very easy to build. They don't require a lot of skill and artistic or creativity. And even if you aren't with kids, it can be really fun to just play in the sand. Find a national park. Every state, with the exception of Delaware, has at least one national park. So if you Google your state and national park, you'll find a park that you can go to and go rock climbing there maybe. You should try to get up for sunrise one morning a week if you can this summer, if you aren't already. I know plenty of people are getting up for sunrise for their commute or for their young children. But if you're normally the kind of person that gets up a little bit later, try getting up for a sunrise just to see it and just to be up and enjoy the peace and the tranquility of an early morning summer sunrise. Go on a sunset walk one night a week. You can go stargazing in the evening too. And that can be harder when you live in a city and there's more light pollution. But if you get a chance to get out of the city, you can go on the internet and print out some astrology maps or try and understand what you're looking at. But just laying back and looking at the stars and realizing we're just one tiny piece of a much bigger universe can really be a kind of grounding perspective to lie back and gaze at the stars for a little while and just simply be and not worry about rushing to the next thing or what your to-do list is. It's sort of a version of, for you yogis out there, it's sort of a version of Shavasana, is to lie back and look at the stars. Find a hammock and nap or read or listen to music or meditate in it. Whatever makes you happy. I would not let the summer go by without finding a hammock and plopping yourself in that hammock for an afternoon or just even for half an hour, and enjoy just the subtle, gentle rock of a hammock and enjoy just being in the hammock, which is such a summertime thing. For those of us who live in warm weather climates and can actually use their hammock year-round, it probably doesn't seem as big a deal, but for people who look forward to the summer months, get in that hammock. Get gardening. You know, a lot of times you think about spring being a big planting time, but corn, cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, they all do well in hot weather. And some flowers that do well in hot weather as well are black-eyed Susans and daylilies. So it's never too late to get in the garden and just dig around a bit or start your own little small garden. It can be very relaxing to work with the earth and to grow something that you can eat, grow something that you could give to someone as a gift, something you can pick. Go berry picking. Strawberries are pretty much over, but raspberries picking is through August, blueberries July and August, blackberries in August. Just sort of depends on where you live and what you have access to, but maybe if you Google berry picking in your area, you can find some good spots to go. Go to a farmer's market. If you Google USDA, that's the USDA Agricultural Marketing Services, there's actually a national farmer's market directory where you can plug in your zip code, and it'll tell you what's in your area. And the information on each farmer's market will vary, but sometimes they'll tell you if it's cash or credit card or what your options are, the hours, contact information. And so it's great to go to the farmer's market, particularly, you know, from June to November when everything is available and not so much in the winter, but definitely during these months, go to the farmer's market. Go to an actual farm. I've been getting produce from a CSA from Garden of Eve in Riverhead. They're an organic farm, and they're out on Long Island. And they have a wealth of activities. They have cooking classes, kids' activities. There's a class coming up on fermented foods, so how to make your own kombucha, and some really interesting offerings, as well as a lot of activities for families. So check out going to a farm that, you know, is open for visitors and that has a menu of activities that you can go. It could be a great way to be outside, learn a little, and spend the afternoon. Go on a picnic, even if it's in your very own backyard. I mean, the summer months, don't set the dining room table or the living room or the coffee table or the kitchen table. Take a blanket and go outside and eat in your yard. Why not? I mean, plenty of people have outdoor furniture as well, but there's something about sitting on a blanket and eating picnic foods that feels very summer-like. So if you don't have parks around you that you can go on an actual picnic, per se, why not picnic in your own backyard? And if it's a rainy day, picnic inside. Why not? You can still do some of those summer activities if the weather's lousy, and have an indoor beach day even, where you set up your towel on your couch and decide to read books or beach reads or magazines and have your beach food. And don't feel guilty that, oh, I should be doing this or should do laundry. Take the downtime. We put too little emphasis on the need for downtime. And, you know, if the weather's kind of crappy and you feel like it's a good time to catch up on your tasks or organize, that's also a good thing to do. That will help you feel like you have accomplished some things and feel centered when you feel like your affairs are in order. But if you don't have anything pressing, just take the time and relax a little bit. And summer is a good way to be reminded of doing that. If you have a dog, go for walks or take them to outside dog-friendly places, or even borrow a dog from someone of your friends. And just having some outdoor time with a furry creature can be really fun. Or going to the dog park and watching the dogs just kind of run around. I mean, boy, do they know the word of play. Dogs love to play. It's integral to their well-being to play. And so watching other animals play can just simply be a refreshing thing and take your mind off your own stresses and woes. And during the summer, there are a lot of restaurants will allow you to bring dogs, definitely not all of them, and only outside, I think, because of the health code, you know, issue and stuff. But if you call ahead or ask and be prepared to maybe try somewhere else, you can usually bring a dog somewhere. And if you find a spot that accepts the dogs, you know, you can make kind of a more of a habit out of it, and just make sure that you bring plenty of water for your dog or a small portable dish, or ask the restaurateur. Sometimes they'll provide a small bowl or ice cubes, whatever. We'll make sure you keep your dog hydrated as well, because the summer months can be a little tough on the animals and don't want to worry about them overheating or getting heat stroke as well. You can go to the movies outside. I know in New York as well, and in other cities, there are places where they'll set up giant projector screens and folding chairs, and we'll have a summer movie lineup, and you can go sit outside and watch movies. But if you don't have access to that, you can do it in your own backyard. You could project against a wall, or if you have a screen, you could do a theme night with the movies, and you can involve maybe costumes and or some snacks. So depending on the movie, you could organize a whole little kind of theme around it. And, you know, it could just be with your family, or you can invite some people over and you can have your own little personal outdoor movie night. Another great thing about summer is going to an outside concert. And it doesn't need to necessarily be a big ticket band in a major venue. I know a lot of times the summer shows sell out. Everybody wants to be outside listening to music. Big artists come through and the tickets can get a little pricey. But there are plenty of smaller venues sometimes, or just even little parks or town squares will have music. And they might not be necessarily a musician you've been dying to see or a band you've heard of, but just simply being outside and hearing the sounds of music can be really relaxing and peaceful. I know if you live near wineries, sometimes wineries these days have been having live music on weekends to draw people in and not just necessarily be at the tasting rooms, but to also be outside and just hang out. Because even if you're not a wine drinker, or, you know, you're pregnant, or you're you know, are the designated driver, it can still just be a great place to soak in the scenery and listen to music and relax. So sometimes if you check out the websites for different wineries near you, they might have a lineup, or you can join their listservs email and get the emails about upcoming events. And finally, hosting a barbecue for friends or family is the penultimate summer activity. So at a barbecue or some sort of small outdoor gathering at your house, you can do any combination of the above activities, bringing in some of those games and, you know, setting up a hammock for your guests and making some food that you purchased at the farmer's market or the farm. You can really integrate all of those outdoor activities in a way that's social and you can spend some time with your friends. So on that note of picnics and barbecues, let's talk a little bit about some summer foods that will make you feel happier and healthier. Because I know that some of the summer staple foods that we've grown accustomed to seeing at a typical barbecue or picnic have a lot of fat in them, and they're very calorie-laden, and they sort of undo all that good effort of playing and keeping fit. And plus, when it's really hot and steamy, who wants to eat foods that make it feel really stuffed and sluggish? You want to eat foods that are cooling and make you feel light, not like you want to just pop yourself in a lounge chair and just roll over. Although, understandably, sometimes maybe that is what you want to do anyway in the heat. But with the food, there are a lot of healthy choices out there that are still delicious and fresh and very summery and don't need to necessarily be packing in the calories and the fat. So stay away from the fried stuff. That's just an obvious one. There's no need for the fried stuff when you can make a lot of other things taste really flavorful. And particularly, we know a lot of people, myself, I definitely have enjoyed a potato chip, but the potato chips are just empty calories, and there are healthier options. You can make homemade baked sweet potato chips or kale chips, and so you can still get that salty crunch without, you know, just the empty calories of a potato chip. And I was recently reading an article, too, about some of the unhealthiest, what are perceived as healthy foods, and one of them was fat-free potato chips, because really, in order to take out the fat, they've put a whole bunch of other stuff in there. And so, you know, just there are plenty of other options, and if you are going to have a few potato chips, although I know most of the time it's really hard to just eat a few, go for the real deal and in moderation, and, you know, just choose wisely on what some of your other indulgences might be then. And it's pretty easy to lighten up some of the usual suspects that you would find at a barbecue, particularly like some of the side salads. Because the actual, you know, main course of a barbecue, the main, that's not too terribly bad for you. You can do some great grilled lean proteins. And then if you have, you know, fresh greens and salads, that's a great meal. But then some of the things that also you see on the side, such as macaroni salad or potato salad, that can be a little bit unhealthy because of the mayo and the white starchy product. So with your macaroni salad, a great way to lighten up macaroni salad is to use brown rice pasta noodles or a whole wheat pasta noodle. Sometimes the consistency can be a little bit different, so you want to make sure you don't overcook it so it doesn't get too mushy. And then you can use a vegan mayo or a low-fat mayo, and instead of using as much mayo, you can substitute in for some vinegar, some Dijon mustard, maybe some dried oregano, and boost up the veggies. So add chopped celery, chopped green pepper, red pepper, summer squash, cherry tomato, and really add more vegetables to make it dense with veggies as opposed to so much about the pasta. You can do the same with potato salad and add green beans. You can do the same with chicken salad for a picnic. You can make grill some chicken breasts, then shred it up, mix it with some light mayo, some dill, some walnuts, some green apple, and you have a great chicken salad that you can put on a nice thick whole grain bread with some romaine lettuce, and it's a kind of a healthier take on a classic chicken salad sandwich. It's great for picnics. You can even make your own vegan mayo. It's pretty easy and inexpensive to do so. Basically, you need a cup of either canola oil or grapeseed oil, half a cup of soy milk, and maybe one and a half teaspoons of lemon juice or cider vinegar. And you basically combine the oil and soy milk in a blender and then blend until smooth, and then slowly add in the lemon juice or vinegar until it thickens and it's basically to your taste, and add a little salt to taste and ground mustard, and you'll have something that's lighter and more flavorful to mix with your side salads. Another dish that kind of gets a bad rap is guacamole, and guacamole is less bad in itself. It's really the basket of greasy, salty chips that you eat with the guacamole, because avocados are really a great source of good fats. And so if you serve the guac with sliced cucumbers or celery, it's a great way to get the good, healthy fats from the guacamole and reduce some of the bad fat from the chips that you would serve with it. And with sliced cucumbers, it's so refreshing. And cucumbers are a really hydrating food, which is good because in the summer, even if you're drinking a lot of water, it's good to eat foods that are also replenishing your body with liquids. And really up the veggie content. So when you're grilling some of your meats, grill, throw some veggies on the grill so that you can add to the, you balance out the meat and the veggies. Because the standard barbecue tends to not have a lot of vegetables, and it tends to be meat and white starchy things. And those are, you know, all fine in moderation, but when you add in the veggies and kind of flip the proportions, it makes for a much healthier meal. And you can make hot dogs and hamburgers healthier too. Nitrate-free hot dogs are a great way to go. I'm not saying you should eat a hot dog every day, but for summertime barbecues, really iconic to have that hot dog, and the nitrate-free dogs are great, and you can really get them at regular supermarkets now. I've seen them more at the Stop and Shops and Safeways and not just specialty and health food stores. I think more and more people are realizing maybe we should not necessarily be eating that and or looking for healthier options. Same with grass-fed beef burgers or lean turkey burgers. There's some good veggie options now that are made with beans, quinoa, portobello mushroom caps are a great way to go. And really have fun with your salads and fruits and play with the two. You know, add strawberries and blueberries or citrus to your salads and combine watermelon, another really hydrating food, with some arugula and cherry tomatoes and douse it with a little bit of balsamic vinegar, and you have a really nice kind of sweet, peppery combination. And if you are invited to go to a barbecue, you know, why not bring a healthy dish, as long as, you know, you ask the host, is there something I could bring, and show up. You know, as long as they're okay with it, you're not going to ruin their theme or whatnot, a healthy dish. And, you know, one of the things I've actually started seeing some of my friends do, which I think is great, and again, it depends on, you know, your relationship with the host and not making a big deal of it, but people who have gone gluten-free, either out of medical necessity or they just feel a lot better not eating the gluten, bringing their own bread and then just swapping out what's there and just, you know, not making a big deal again, like I said, and just, you know, putting the meat on their own bread that they've brought. I have a friend who actually always has her bun in her bag ready to go. We went to a restaurant once that wasn't gluten-free, and she just asked them to hold the bread, and she made her own sandwich right there. Didn't make a big deal, and it was great. People are getting much more adaptable and acceptive of different, you know, culinary or medical or dietary tastes. And I think that's great. And I think we're moving toward a place where, you know, you're not the healthy, weird one anymore. You don't have to be, you know, oh, you eat that weird stuff. And it's just more commonplace now that people want to be eating healthy. And it's actually a learning exchange. So if you bring a really great tasting, healthy dish, there might be people chomping at the bit to get that recipe. So sharing knowledge without being forceful about it. So if you host your own barbecue, you don't need to necessarily force healthy food on people. You just make what you like and taste fresh and delicious and make sure there's enough food for people. And it's not too extreme. If you have meat eaters there, you don't necessarily need to make it a totally tofu barbecue, and you do what you want to do and have available, and, you know, people can eat before, they can eat after, and so you make what's comfortable for you and make sure that your guests do get enough to eat. But if you are into healthy food, that's okay. They can get their really fried something at another time. So the more people who embrace sort of being healthy and eating healthy, there'll be a shift, there'll be a change. And summer is a great time to really embrace that because there's so much fresh food available. And another fun treat to do is make homemade ice pops. I recommend getting the BPA-free plastic molds, particularly if you have children. Tavolo makes a great one. It's only like $12, or a stainless steel set as well. Onyx makes one that's a little bit more expensive. It's about $40. And what you can do is just blend fresh fruit chunks and liquid. Liquid could be just plain water or some coconut water. Or if you want to make the ice pops a little creamier, you can use almond milk or coconut milk. Basically, 3 cups fruit to 1/4 cup liquid. With juicier fruits like melons, you might not need the extra liquid. And if you're starting with frozen fruit, you might actually need a bit more liquid. And then you put it in the mold and you freeze, and you have great tasting homemade ice pops that are relatively inexpensive to make. And you can bypass the ever-present ice cream man with these great homemade fresh fruit pops. And some healthy summer foods that really are in abundance and, you know, just are so available in the summer and actually have great health benefits as well include corn. So corn has 2 antioxidants, lutein and zeaxanthin. I can never say that. Some of these phytochemicals are a little difficult to pronounce, which acts like natural sunglasses, and it helps to form pigments that filter out some of the sun's damaging rays. And so some of the same antioxidants that are in corn might help lower the risk of age-related degeneration, which is the leading cause of blindness in people over the age of 60. So there are some really good things in corn. I know corn gets a bad rap sometimes for not being that healthful, but actually if you're just grilling some fresh corn and eating it with not too much extra fat or salt on it, it's really great. Iced coffee, actually, studies have shown that can lower the risk of developing skin cancer, recently in a Journal of Cancer Prevention. So, again, caffeine is one of those things that gets a mixed review, and really I think it depends on your own toleration to caffeine. But go for that iced coffee if you're a coffee drinker, because iced coffee can have some great properties. Same as tart cherries. Tart cherries have a host of health benefits as well, and I think we're in cherry season now. I'm not entirely sure, but cherries are really good for you, as well as tomatoes. And tomatoes are abundant in the summer. But eating more tomatoes could give you a little extra sun protection as well. There have been some studies that have shown that consuming more lycopene, which is what makes tomato red, may protect your skin from sunburn. Watermelon, which we mentioned before as a very hydrating food, is a great summer staple, and staying hydrated helps keep your memory shape sharp and your mood stable, and it also helps keep your body cool by sweating during hot summer months. And so you don't need to just drink water, you can get it from foods, and watermelon is 92% water, hence the name. Raspberries are also a great source, as well as iced tea. There's a lot of great benefits of tea, and so in the summer months you can make that tea cool, and so it'll be really refreshing. And then if you drink tea regularly, there have studies have shown that you can lower potentially your risk of Alzheimer's and diabetes, and plus have healthier teeth, gums, and bones, because tea is in a class of antioxidants called flavonoids. And so regardless of the type, it can be black, green, white, or herbal. You can maximize the flavonoids by drinking it freshly brewed. And if you want to keep a batch of cold tea in your refrigerator, just add a little lemon juice. And the citric acid and vitamin C in the lemon will help preserve the flavonoids. So iced tea, unsweetened, is a great, great way to maximize some health benefits while staying cool and refreshed in the summer. But if it is a caffeinated iced tea, make sure you balance out with water, because if it's caffeinated, it will be dehydrating. And so blueberries, another great berry and come available in the summer months. They have antioxidants that may help ward off muscle fatigue based on some new research that came out of New Zealand that I'd read. So these are some healthy foods that you've seen a lot in the summer and do actually have some tangible health benefits that are best being scientifically proven. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the summer foods, you know, enjoy things in moderation, and so don't totally forego something that's so summer to you if you really want it and it's in moderation. So, for example, I love a summer lobster roll. So I'll get my summer lobster roll, and yes, maybe it might be the full-fat mayo, and maybe the bun is not whole grain or whatnot. But you know what? If you want to have that one lobster roll of the summer and indulge, or if it's the ice cream cone from the ballpark or something, some of those iconic summer treats that might not be so healthy for you are good if they're going to nurture your spirit and your soul and make you feel like you're truly experiencing summer. But again, in moderation, and being aware that there are all these other healthy alternatives that are available to you on a more regular basis. So now that we've talked about food for a little bit, let's talk a little bit about creativity. And so another way to make your summer happier and healthier is to find ways to express your creativity and really be inspired by the season. And I find that being outside can be really inspiring to, you know, pick up some hobbies that even though you're not a professional or not going to take a bunch of classes, but you just want to try your hand at it. So for example, drawing or painting outside. Landscapes are just a great source of inspiration. And if you have a sketchbook and some pencils, just try your hand while you're sitting outside one day and just start sketching and don't feel embarrassed or, oh, you know, I'm trying to make it perfect or I don't know how. I mean, if you really enjoy it, there's lots of adult extension classes to take and learn more skills in a more structured way. But honestly, just start sketching if it's an outlet for you, or try even painting outside, some great scenery outside that you want to paint and feel inspired to do. And again, who cares what it looks like? It's just for you to have fun with and to play and to be creative. Another great thing to do to capture your summer memories would be to make a scrapbook of some of your summer mementos. So as you go through the summer, and you want to be reminded of some of the things you've been doing each day or each weekend, pick some of the mementos and save them and put them in a scrapbook. We don't save as many books anymore, I think, since the advent of being everything on computers with photography, which is great in of itself because you can store so many images and you can take so many more pictures. But sometimes it's really fun just to flip through a book, and having a hard copy book that has some of the mementos, and then you can maybe put some pictures in or just different things that you save that make you remember and have experienced some of those memories of the fun things that you did, particularly when maybe it's January and it's freezing cold and rain and you're stressed out and want to just take a moment and take a little mini mental break and think back of some fun summer activities you did. And speaking of photography, the summer can be a really good time to practice your photography. And it might be fun for the summer to just pick a theme in addition to the pictures you're going to take of friends and family or places you go, but pick a theme that you want to try and photograph and capture as many as you can. So maybe it's lighthouses or birds or trees or dogs or the food you're preparing. And just see if you can tweak the art of picturing that one category of things and continually work on it and improve it. So with food photography particularly can be a little difficult. And so try playing around with the colors and the textures, and or the same with trees, different types of trees in your perspective. And again, if it's something that you really get into, there's always classes that you can take as well. But not having specialized skills or being trained should never be an inhibitor factor to picking up something and just trying it. And summer's a great time to try and start that. And journaling, writing can be really cathartic and a great way to express your creativity. So journaling while you're sitting on a beach or sitting outside, and just spend a few moments. It doesn't need to be a long time. It doesn't even need to be that much substance, just jotting down some thoughts. And maybe learning how to knit or crochet. When I was a small girl, we would go to the beach with some of my parents, my family's neighbors, and one of the women was an amazing crocheter and knitter, and she had taught me how to crochet, and we would sit on crochet together at the beach. And I actually don't know how to do it anymore. I didn't retain any of the skills, and I wish I did, so I might consider picking back up. But I remember it being a very relaxing, easy thing to do at the beach because you could sit and you could sit in your chair and you could have, you know, your materials by you and you could be talking while you were doing it. But yet at the same time, you're also creating something, which could be fun if you have new infants in the family and you're trying to make some blankets or things like that. I think, though, I was never very skilled and I don't really accomplish much more than just long strands of string or yarn. So if I were to pick it back up, I think I would need to get a bit more involved with the learning process. But for those of you that are out there that really want to, are fast learners in arts and crafts, I would say go for it because it is something you can do outside. And even with children, it can be great to get creative in the summer months and be outside. Some of the things you might not want to do indoors, you can take them outdoors, like maybe build a puppet theater and do some outdoor puppet shows, or the sidewalk chalk is always very popular, as well as painting, because painting is better outside. Finger painting, painting t-shirts, painting rocks, and maybe even starting a collection of some sort this summer. So as you walk on the beach, picking up beach glass and saving them in a jar, or shells, or driftwood, or leaves, any of these things that you want to collect through the summer months. And maybe even that turns into a craft of making some summer jewelry. I know there's a lot of great materials in nature that can be incorporated into jewelry. So if you find this great shell, putting it on a string or something like that, and it doesn't have to be necessarily something that's really fancy that you're going to wear all the time, but just something fun that you created and reminds you of a particular moment in summer. And so one last sort of theme or area that we'll want to touch upon when we talk about being healthy and happy in the summer is taking care of your physical body, particularly when you're being outside. We talked a little bit before about using sunscreen and not being out, you know, the peak of the day, but I know there's a lot of concern sometimes about, well, how much chemicals are in the sunscreen and which is worse, but definitely I would recommend checking out the Environmental Working Group reports on sunscreens. They rank a bunch of sunscreens by safety, and I've found some good ones that I really like. I feel like it doesn't harm, you know, my skin or make my skin feel really gross, but yet it offers good protection from the sun's rays. So if you go to the Environmental Working Group website and look for the report on sunscreens and cosmetics, that will give you some good information. And there's always the option to wear sun protection clothing. They're actually making some really fashionable, cute sun protection clothing now. It's not just like a scuba suit, but cute button-down tops and, you know, stylish kind of lightweight cargo pants. And they offer, I think, SPF 50 protection, which is a great alternative, particularly if you're going to be outside all day or if you're going to be on the water. One company that I like is Coolibar, Coolibar, and they make some great sun protection clothing. And again, all opinions related to manufacturers are my own personal opinions. I have no relationship with any of the products that I'm referencing. They're simply products that I found to be helpful and useful and quality that I recommend. And so wearing lightweight summer-appropriate clothing is also important. So whatever the activity you're going to do, dressing appropriately and having fun with it, wearing bright colors and prints in the summer. I know in the winter months we all tend to get a little bit drab and dark with a palette of black and gray and camel. Particularly in New York, it becomes a sea of black and navy and dark wintry colors, which is, you know, appropriate as you're hustling around in slush and sleet. So in the summer, have fun with the happy colors, and sometimes putting on something bright and fun makes your mood change. And also wear appropriate footwear based on the outdoor activities or whatnot that you're doing. And particularly if you're going to be out in rocky beach or in water, they make really great water shoes now. It's not just, say, like the Aquasock, or nothing against the Aquasock, but I recall from years ago the water shoe not feeling like particularly something you wanted to bop around in all day, but more just for water safety if you were going to be in the water. But now there's a lot of these shoes that you can slip into. They have some traction. They're lightweight. They're breathable. SierraTradingPost.com is a great website that has a lot of gear like that and for really great prices. And right now, towards, you know, as we're in the midpoint of the summer, so to speak, there's some good sales. So you might want to check that out for your gear. Likewise with wearing a hat. There's a lot of different choices, you know, based on how sporty or not sporty you are. And a sun hat is a great way to keep the sun off your face. A lot of them have SPF protection in them as well. The company Coolibar, they make a hat that has SPF in them. And wear sunglasses as well. You really want to protect your eyesight in the summer and really go for the good lenses. It's more about the lenses than the logo. And I know it's very it's easy to get sucked into the either wanting to buy inexpensive sunglasses because you feel like you're going to lose them a lot and buying them off the street, or B, sunglasses being a fashion statement. But at the end of the day, to protect your eyes, you really want to make sure you're getting quality lenses, and you don't necessarily need to spend a fortune to do that. There are some great polarized lenses if you're going to be on the water or, you know, playing a sport where you have to squint or focus, and you want to make sure that you're protecting your eyes appropriately. And in the summer months, it's also important to try to lighten up your product routine and keep it a little bit fresher and cleaner and use less product and wear less makeup and not have things that are maybe going to attract insects or bugs, but just to keep it fresh and clean and light. And as we talked about before, drinking plenty of water will help your body and your skin. Eating the hydrating foods such as cucumbers, radishes, broccoli, yogurt, carrots, apples, peaches, plums, those are all foods that have a good proportion of water in them. And one other great way to counterbalance some of these effects of being outside and the elements is to have an at-home spa day and use some really easy, inexpensive, natural ingredients. So you can make a face mask simply by mixing Greek yogurt with some raspberries, or mixing the yogurt with honey or with cucumber, and then put it on your face. Just let it sit there for a little while and then rinse it off with a warm washcloth, and it'll be really hydrating and cooling. You can also do a natural body scrub, anything, you know, using granulated sugar and olive oil as your base, and then maybe adding essential oil, some drops of your favorite essential oil, or using ground coffee and brown sugar and coconut oil. That's another good scrub to do. Obviously, don't go outside and sit outside if you've been using something with sugar, though, because the bugs will get you potentially, depending on where you live, if there's problems with mosquitoes or things like that. So maybe do that before you go to bed and take your shower and then call it a night. And same thing with a hair mask. Even your hair will get dried out sometimes from the sun and the water. You can take an egg, a tablespoon of coconut oil, tablespoon of olive oil, tablespoon of honey, mix that with some water, and leave it on for about 15 minutes and then rinse it off. So that's a great way to hydrate your hair. So as we wrap up, we're getting close to the end of the show, and we've talked about some very pragmatic things such as the foods to eat and to make and some activities to do and some things to take care of your physical body. But really allow summer to be a time to restore your spirit and be social and spend time with friends and loved ones. And try to connect with like-minded people who share similar beliefs about the healthy eating or the hobbies. So, you know, people who want to go do yoga or to try paddleboarding or to try rock climbing or whatever activity that resonates with you, see if you can, you know, interact with some people who share that common interest. And also be restful and find time to balance the busyness with time to rest and relax. And acknowledge that downtime is not lost time. And like I was saying before, often, you know, downtime just gets pushed to the wayside and doesn't make our schedules. But downtime is something you really should schedule in, and you do need that time to rest and relax. And strive for not work-life balance, but work-life comfort. So comfort in that you are getting what you need to get done at work and meeting your demands, but that you're also spending enough time out of doors and with people and being happy and taking advantage of the fun activities that there are in summer. And try daily to read one inspiring thing, whether it be a quote or an article or a book that you're reading, a few pages of it, something that inspires you and makes you realize that there's a far greater picture out there, that the day-to-day things that bog us down are really, in the grand scheme of things, not as big as we make them out to be. And so sometimes reading and reinforcing something inspirational will help you kind of take that pause in that moment. And try to say I love you once a day to whomever's in your life. But that's just a great way to feel grateful for the people that are in our lives and around us. And before you go to sleep at night, take a moment to acknowledge all the good that was in your day before you go to sleep. And often going to sleep time can feel like the time when you're doing one last review of your to-do list or you're thinking about what you have to get up and do in the morning. So try to put that aside and try instead to think about the day that was before you and all the good that happened. Of course, there will probably be bad as well, but if you can hone in on the good bits and let that be the last thing you think about before you go to sleep, chances are you'll get a more restful, peaceful night's sleep. And give yourself a break if there is a day with no play, and just let it go, let it be. Acknowledge that that was not one of the best days, but then tomorrow is a new day, and the next day you'll try to work in something that makes you happy, that allows you to experience play or creativity. And find that time, even if it's 5 minutes. So when you have a day that seems to go by without any time for you, make sure you make some time the next day for you if you can. And know that the change of seasons, though, is a good thing. So when Labor Day rolls around, already start planning your list of ways to make fall happy and healthy. So let the anxiety of, oh my gosh, summer is going by so fast, let that go. And as the summer unfolds, start thinking about fall and how you're going to make fall happy and healthy. And at the end of the day, be content with what makes you happy while respecting your body and mind. So I really wanted to thank everyone who tuned in today and called in, and I hope that you found today's show interesting and informative and inspiring to really have your best summer yet and being healthy and happy. And I hope you'll also check out tomorrow's show on the network. It's the Super Soul Sunday Recap at 12 noon. And then on Monday at 7 p.m., we have Walk Your Talk with an Angel in Heaven and Here on Earth with Leanne Parsons. And on Tuesday at 8 p.m., New You City Coach Chat with Danielle Mercurio. And so you can find all these shows right at lifecoachradionetwork.com. And I'll be on again July 27th, the same time, same place. Feel free to contact with me with any questions or if you want any of the recipes or any of the items that I mentioned on today's show. I can be reached at Jennifer F. Duffy, Jennifer F. as in Frank, Duffy at gmail.com. So that's it for today, and I'm wishing you all a very happy, healthy weekend. Take care.